Thirdly, God has preserved the Bible through the centuries in its translations into many languages. Dedicated copyists preserved God's words for us in original languages, so consecrated translators gave the people of the world God's words in their own languages. As early as the 5th century BC, Ezra found it necessary to translate the Bible publicly from Hebrew to Aramaic, Nehemiah 8:1-8. In the 1st century AD, Greek translations of the Hebrew Old Testament were available to the apostles as they went on their missionary journeys. It is believed that they were able to refer to these regularly along with their treasured copies of the Hebrew Old Testament. Paul quoted from the Old Testament Deuteronomy 25:4 and the New Testament Luke 10:7 in one passage, 1 Timothy 5:18, and say confidently, the scripture says. Later, John Wycliffe, 1320 perhaps to 1384, an Englishman of the Middle Ages, desired to see the common person able to read the Bible in English. Because of this, he completed his English translation in 1382. The next effort was to have copies made so that it could be available to those wishing to read it for themselves. One historian writes, the interest taken in the man and in his work enlisted 100 expert hands, who, though they toiled to multiply copies, could scarcely supply the many who were eager to buy. Some ordered complete copies to be made for them. Others were content with portions. The same copies served several families in many instances. And in a very short time, Wycliffe's English Bible had obtained a wide circulation and brought a new life into many an English home. The whole idea of the common person with his own copy of the scripture was thought to be just totally unnecessary and dangerous. Actually, it was a very huge threat to the Roman priest. Knowledge empowers you. And there was a control and financial issue over the Roman priesthood. The typical response is best summed up in the words of Henry Knighton, canon of St. Mary's Abbey in Leicester, England. Christ delivered his gospel to the clergy and doctors of the church that they might administer to the laity and to weaker persons, according to the state of the times and the wants of men. But this master, John Wycliffe, translated it out of Latin into English and thus laid it more open to the laity and to women who could read than it had formerly been to the most learned of the clergy, even to those of them who had the best understanding. And in this way, the gospel pearl is cast abroad and trodden under foot of swine. And that which was before precious to both clergy and laity is rendered, as it were, the common jest of both. The jewel of the church is turned into the sport of the people. And what was hitherto the principal gift of the clergy and divines is made forever common to the laity. Here you see the attitude of the ruling church is that the Bible was a book for priests, not for people. And it eventually ended in the death of anyone found with a copy of the Wycliffe's Bible. Many were killed with copies of their Bible hanging around their neck. John Wycliffe died before much of the persecution began, but 30 years after his death, quote, his memory was pronounced infamous, and it was decreed that his body and bones should be taken from the ground and thrown away from the burial of any church according to the canon laws and decrees. Quote. In the pursuance of this decree, a few years afterwards, his grave was opened and his remains removed. These were then burnt and the ashes cast into the adjoining brook named the Swift. And Fuller, describing the scene quaintly but truly, says, this brook conveyed them into Avon, and the Avon into the Severn, and the Severn into the narrow seas, they into the main ocean, and thus the ashes of Wycliffe were the emblem of his doctrine, which is now dispersed all the world over. Henry Knighton. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Matthew 24:35. So the Bible is the world's best-selling and most widely distributed book. It's been translated into 2009 languages, probably more by now. This is a dated text. It is estimated that between 1815 and 1992, some 6.1 billion copies of the Bibles were printed, of which 36.97% were handled by Bible societies. This is taken from the Guinness Book of World Records in 1994. Let's look at the Bible in modern languages. The translation, and these are some key things everyone must be consider. The translation of God's words have been used to enhance the languages of God's word, world. Martin Luther's translation of the Bible into German helped shape the world and refine the German language to a high level. The German Bible, quote, produced by Luther, was to become the national book of Germany, the book whereby, for the first time, she was to proclaim her unity. This is extremely interesting when we remember that John Huss achieved a similar result in Czech and Calvin in French, France von Brentano. Luther created the German language, and he did so by translating the Bible, Heinrich Heine. Above all else, Luther gave poetry its language. His German, the German of Luther's Bible, was the fountain at which the German language constantly refreshed itself when it was in danger of losing itself through the influence of a foreign language, Latin or French, or in an artificial literary style, Karl Hull. No one who knows the nature of language dares to appear in the presence of Luther without reverence. Among no people has one man done so much to help create their language, Friedrich Klopstock. The same could be said of the translation that gave us God's word in the English language. It has been said that the English Bible, above all else, has kept the English language from becoming obsolete down through the centuries. Among the works that have contributed to the formation of modern English, an important place must be given to the translation of the Bible, from those of Tyndale and Coverdale in the early 16th century to the Authorized Version of 1611. The effort to find accurate expression for the thoughts of the sacred writers calls forth abundance of ingenuity in the invention of new combinations of words, and the fact that the Bible has for centuries been the most widely read and most frequently quoted of books has made it the most fruitful source of elusive changes of meaning. Henry Bradley. The Bible ought to be read, were it only for the sake of the grand English in which it is written, and education in itself, Alfred Tennyson, which, interestingly enough, more than 400 biblical references have been found in his poetry. But we must also always remember that these translations were not powerful because of the effectiveness of the language in which they were written. The Englishmen who went to the stake did not die for these cadences. These men were cheerful to die for the meaning of the word and for its authorship because it was spoken by Christ, Sir Arthur Quiller Couch. Let's look at more proofs of inspiration. We will discuss two more proofs of inspiration, the Bible's fulfilled prophecy and its scientific accuracy. And of course, I was quite interested in this last quote that I read about dying for the Word of God, that it has been found in science, actually, that the earth is not, or the whole creation is not contingent upon matter. That is not the first formulation. But it is information, and the information is conducted on light. And, God spoke, and he created light. Prophecies are fulfilled. There are so many Old Testament prophecies concerning Christ's first coming, and many New Testament prophecies have been fulfilled by historical events. Just a few overviews. The prophecy of Jesus Christ's virgin birth in Isaiah 7:14 is the Old Testament. The New Testament was Matthew 1:20 and Luke 1:30 through 35. His birthplace in Bethlehem, Micah 5:2. It was fulfilled in Luke 2, 4, and 7. His forerunner, John the Baptist, was prophesied in Isaiah 43. In the New Testament, it was fulfilled in John 1, 6 through 8, and 19 through 23. His triumphal entry into Jerusalem was prophesied in Zechariah 9, 9 through 10. His New Testament fulfillment was John 12, 12 through 19. His side pierced at Calvary was Zechariah 12, 10. His New Testament fulfillment was John 19, 34. His cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, was in Psalm 22, 1. And it was fulfilled in Matthew 27, 46. The darkness, at his crucifixion was prophesied in Psalm 22, 2. It was fulfilled in Matthew 27, 45. Mocking at his crucifixion, Psalm 22, 6 and 8. It was fulfilled in the scripture Matthew 27, 39, 43. His hand and feet pierced were Psalm 22, 16. It was fulfilled in John 20, 24 through 29. Casting lots for his vesture was Psalm 22, 18. Matthew 27, 35 was the fulfillment. His unbroken bones were prophesied in Psalm 34, 20, fulfilled in John 19, 36. He was given vinegar to drink in Psalm 69, 21. It was fulfilled in Matthew 27, 34, 48. He was buried in a rich man's grave near the wicked. It was prophesied in Isaiah 53, 9, fulfilled in Matthew 27, 57, 60. Christ's resurrection was prophesied in Psalm 16, 10 and Hosea 6, 2. Was fulfilled in Luke 24, 1 through 7. Christ's ascension was prophesied in Psalm 110, 1, and Psalm 24, 3 through 10. Is fulfilled in Acts 1, 8 through 11. It is estimated that 1/3 of the Holy Scriptures are prophecy. When it is remembered that crucifixion was a Roman, not Jewish, form of execution, the proof of inspiration is irresistible. C.I. Schofield. First, the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70 was prophesied by Jesus in Matthew 24, 2. And Jesus said to them, "See you not all these things? I verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Matthew 24, 2. And in AD 70, the Roman armies under Titus seized and overthrew Jerusalem 443 days. Josephus states that Titus finally ordered the entire city to be burned to the ground, and it was so leveled that there was no longer anything to lead those who visited the spot to believe that it had ever been inhabited. And the natural death of Simon Peter, prophesied by Jesus Christ, "Verily, verily, I say to you, when you shall be old, you shall stretch forth your hands, and another shall gird you and carry you whither thou wouldest not." And this he spake, signifying by what death he should glorify God. John 21, 18 through 19. Jerome states that Peter, at his request, was crucified upside down. He felt he was unworthy to be crucified in the same way as his master. All right, let's look at the scientific accuracy of the Bible. Although it was not written as a science book, it does speak of science matters and accurately. Firstly, the scripture, God created the universe ex nihilo, out of nothing. Things which are seen were are not made of things which do appear, Hebrews 11, 3. The moisture in the atmosphere goes through a cycle of evaporation and condensation. He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain, Psalm 135, 7. The earth is spherical in shape. The earth is turned as clay to the seal, Job 38, 13, 14. The earth is suspended in space. He hangeth the earth upon nothing, Job 26, 7. Tides vary in the late evening and early morning hours. He has compassed the waters with bounds until the day and the night come to an end, Job 26, 10. The stars cannot be numbered. The host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured, Jeremiah 33, 22. The atmosphere has weight, to maketh the weight for the winds, Job 28:25. Now, this was not known by scientists until the 17th century. The stars travel in certain paths. The stars in their courses, Judges 5:20. Blood sustains life, for the life of the blood, the flesh, is in the blood, Leviticus 17:11. The universe is running down. The earth and the heavens shall wax old like a garment, Psalm 102:25-26. The stars are a great distance from the earth, and behold, the height of the stars, how high they are, Job 22:12. Stars differ in magnitude. One star differeth from another star in glory, 1 Corinthians 15:41. The chemical composition of man and the earth is identical. He remembers that we are dust, Psalm 103:14. There are illustrations now of scientific accuracy of the Bible. George Washington gave the following account, was given of his death by his secretary, Tobias Lear. On December 12, 1799, Washington rode for about 5 hours to several of his farms in sub-freezing cold. In spite of the fact that he had developed a severe cold, he again went out on December 13 to check on his farms. That night he awoke several times complaining that it was extremely difficult for him to swallow. Mr. Rawlins, one of his overseers, came in soon after sunrise and prepared to bleed him. This was the accepted medical practice in the late 18th century. Either leech was attached to the patient and allowed to suck his blood freely, or the physician made a small incision in the arm of the patient and allowed a portion of the blood to drain into a basin. Two of his personal physicians arrived and all agreed this method should continue to be procedure throughout the day. Those watching said the blood came very slowly toward the end. He died that night. The practice of bleeding, which many persons would thought to have killed him, was then so widely used that his doctors would have been censured if they had admitted it. 60 years later, it was still in use, and no one can doubt it deprived George Washington of his chance of living. The irony of the whole account was that beside his bed that day was a copy of the Bible. And that Bible could be found, Leviticus 17:11, for the flesh, life of the flesh is in the blood. Summarized from William Roscoe. Let's look at what a few great scientists have said about the Bible. Why will people go astray when they have this blessed book to guide them? Michael Faraday. If all the great books of the world were given life and were brought together in convention, the moment the Bible entered, the other books would fall on their faces as the gods of Philistia fell when the Ark of God was brought into their presence in the Temple of Dagon. Sir Isaac Newton. I like to study the guidebook to the country where I am going. Samuel F. B. Morse. All human discoveries seem to be made only for the purpose of confirming more strongly the truths contained in the Holy Scriptures. Sir William Herschel. The chief aim of all investigations of the external world should be to discover the rational order and harmony which has been imposed on it by God and which he revealed to us in the language of mathematics. Johann Kepler. Let's look at the French Academy of Sciences. In 1861, published a brochure in which they listed 51 scientific facts that supposedly contradict the Bible. Today, one scientist believes any one of those supposed errors. Matthew Murray, 1806-1873, spent much of his life as a U.S. naval officer on the oceans of the world. During an illness, he read Psalms, a reference to the paths of the sea, Psalm 8:8. Believing in the complete scientific accuracy of the Bible, he searched and found what the Bible had revealed thousands of years earlier. The ocean currents travel in specific paths. He was able to gather enough information from many voyages to be able to chart the currents on the Atlantic, Pacific, and Indian Oceans. As a result, those who followed his charts were able to cut down their sailing time considerably. How great and awesome are your words, O Lord.